back.
Here we are.
All right. Got
myself. Oh, go ahead.
Welcome, guys, to the Stoke Podcast. Hello. I'm Mikel here.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Todd.
And we're here celebrating our Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth, everybody.
All right.
My question, the one question I have is, what is this Juneteenth? And I'm the only white quarter black person here, so... Why should I be celebrating?
I will tell you, as a person of color, myself.
Yeah, caramel color.
The best.
All right.
I'm not entirely sure, my man. It's something new. We're supposed to be celebrating.
We should
everybody
care. All right.
Every black, brown, and white person needs to be celebrating Juneteenth today. What is that all about?
Well, I mean... I feel like this has been a big weekend for me because it's Father's Day. Now it's Juneteenth. From what I understand, it's the day that black people, I believe they celebrate their freedom. But from what I understand also, this is not the day that they received their freedom. I believe they received it 2 years about prior to, I think it was in February, Juneteenth. This is the day that they actually told we're told, hey, you've been free for 2 years.
Oh man.
I think it was like one section of the United States that was still you know, very much, I guess the last group of slaves are freed around this time. Was it 2 years after?
I believe so, something like there's a 2 year gap. I don't even care to look into it. So I'm not trying to be a news source here or any credible information. Just here to say no one really cares. Like I don't. It's Pride Month too, so that's a big month for me.
Yeah. Oh, it's joking. Funny. I saw a a TikTok actually of a guy. He was walking down the street. Someone says, Happy Juneteenth, and he says, "All right, what's up?" He's like, also throws in something Pride related, and he's just like, his entire demeanor changes because he's like, he's black, he's walking down the street, so he's celebrating one thing, but everyone else celebrating another thing. It's, I don't know, it's a mess.
It is bizarre. And Father's Day is in Pride Month now. I mean, I did see a good meme. I think we said it last time too, but thank a straight person for existing on Pride Month.
Exactly.
Thank a straight person for creating you, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. Even got you. I can hear your tapping, like.
All right. my mic must be turned down. That's good, though. That's good.
So to the listeners, we're going to change a little bit about our structure, not this podcast per se, but hopefully in future ones where we're going to start to introduce some different segments. I know Brian's pretty excited. He got a new soundboard and trying to have like some callers and maybe some guests more frequently and kind of really organize like the topics. So it's a bit more fast paced or a little faster and more digestible for people. So keep a lookout for that.
Yeah. Ready to branch out a little bit and really dive in a little bit further. Been at this for a while, guys.
It's been over a year for sure. I think we might be coming up on 2 years in May. We're 6 months away or so. I don't know.
I don't know. I should show up on our Apple podcast.
It's true. You'd think I would know this stuff.
Yeah.
If you're a listener, if you are our avid listener, please let us know in the comment section
how long
have we been at this.
Yeah. Exactly. Last year was a blur for me, so well, the topic that I just stumbled across, we've talked about it a bunch but never maybe formally on here, was manifestation. So manifesting something, and is it biblical, would be the question I'm looking to answer. I've been thinking about that more and kind of looking in my own life and like, oh yeah,
so
I manifested that, or is that,
I need a definition on manifestation.
Yeah. Are you talking about like manifesting good, like some work?
Right.
Or are you talking about like manifesting a demon?
No, that's another good one. So there are many ways to define it how I'm meaning it is, if I want, I want my car fixed, right? And then someone walks on in, it's like, hey, I fixed your car for you, or I want more money, right? Things like that. And then it happens. Did I manifest that? Or is that just what part of God's plan? Why is it coincidental? Is it happening because I'm looking for it? And now I think I manifested. And beyond that, is that biblical? Can we do it? I know, like you're saying, like, I mean, Jesus was manifest. He was also manifest in person. Yeah. You can manifest demons. And so I did do a little research, but
yeah, let me know, dude. I'm not going to interrupt your gig, but dude, this is so vibing with what God has been downloading with me this week too. So I want to hear you go.
Well, so what I found out, and interrupt me at any point, cause I did do some, I have a good amount of research here. And this is just, it's coming off of this BibleVersePro.com. They did an article on it. But pretty much it begins by talking about faith. So I feel like the world will, a worldly view, people that believe in manifestation may say, if you speak it, the universe will return it to you.
Right? Kind of like the old school name it and claim it doctrines,
right? It is that. It is. Okay. I am going to have a boat. That's my boat. On actually a buddy, Joey, you know, Joey, he said he had a buddy who had a picture of a boat. It was a yacht. And he said, that's my yacht. And he said, what do you mean that's your yacht? He said, that's my yacht. I'm like, okay, let's go on a ride. He's like, well, I don't own it right now, but I will. He's like, oh, okay. So it's one of those things, like, yeah, you're just claiming it. Right. And so I think from a worldly view, some people may say, oh yeah, you can manifest. Biblically, these guys start out by talking about faith, the faith of a mustard seed.
Right.
And if you only had that, that you would be able to move a mountain. Right.
Right.
And actually, Dre and I were talking about that. Is that hyperbole? Did Jesus say that? And it was, you can really move a mountain, but you could if you had the faith of a mustard seed. Or did he literally mean that? Which is already up for debate.
I think it's both.
I think that it was an example. I think that he spoke in parables, right? That's how he taught, or used analogies. And I think that, I don't think it was a lie. I think that he told the truth, that truly, if you had even the faith of a mustard seed, you could literally move a mountain. He said it. Simultaneously, he said it to teach a point, right? Mm-hmm. If you had faith, if you even had this much faith, you could heal, you could speak in tongues, you could do all these different things, that you just lack the faith to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are different areas that they explored. And the first of is, when you become saved, you're being indwelled by the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit's power is being manifest in you. So you can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, perform works potentially, right?
Yeah.
And it's not for your own doing. It's for the people around you to benefit and reap from, whether it's seeing you do something or do something to them or help them. The point is, I think the biggest part of it is that it's all for God's glory. It's not for yourself. That would be wicked. It would be wicked to sit here and say, I want more money. I want my car. I want this. I want that. It's for me. And it has nothing to do with making God look bigger or furthering the kingdom. And so I think that rules out quite a bit right away.
I think that in regards to manifesting, like, partnering with heaven is one thing, you know, on a desire to manifest a good work. But, you know, like you said, you could have completely ungodly desires and you can manifest those by, beginning the process. And I'll talk about that later, but, there is something to it. I don't subscribe to the name it and claim it, like, oh, you know, prosperity gospel, you know, every Christian should be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And, you know, but I do think there's an element to faith that, you know, it's like everybody everybody mocks Peter. At least most Christians at one point in time, or they kind of say, oh yeah, Peter's always sticking his foot in his mouth, or Peter's always like saying to God, hey, should we build tabernacles, when, you know, when he's on the hill of transfiguration. But it's like, you know, and they'll mock him for, you know, going out on the water and failing, right? But I'm like, dude, like everybody else is kind of a puss in a boat, you know? They're not doing jack, and they're not saying jack, and they're not willing. It's like they're like the birds that had to be pushed out of the nest, and Peter's trying to operate in faith.
Right.
And I kind of admire that. I don't know that I'm necessarily wired that way, but I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to, because we could sit around and talk intellectually about, you know, the Bible and never do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Never do anything. Never make a move. Never talk to somebody about Christ. Never offer to pray for anybody. And that's just not what I want.
Right.
You know, I'd rather be the fool who flops than, you know, I want to say the right word, but I can't. And so I'm just going to leave it at that. Finish that. I didn't want to hijack it.
Oh, no, you're good. I think that, so what the article continued to go on and talk about was, that all things work out for good for those that believe, right? Mm-hmm. In accordance with God's will, his plan. And mm-hmm. so I think that we were talking about, just some different aspirations that I have had recently that seem really
larger than life.
Yeah. They're big aspirations, you know. Okay. And believing the question came like, is this realistic? You know, is this goal realistic? To which my answer would be, yeah, I believe that if you believe something can happen, it could happen potentially. But if you don't believe something can happen, it's a fact. It will not happen as far as your own abilities. If you think you can do something, if you believe you can do something, there's a possibility it could happen. But if you don't believe that you could do it, it's a fact, or almost a fact, that it's not going to happen. You're not even going to attempt to do it. And so in that, I think that if it's in line with God's word, in line with his plan, in line with his will, that there's a chance it mm-hmm. could happen. Not, and so that's where I land on manifestation. It's, I don't think you can just name it, claim it, and it will happen. But I do believe if it's in line with God's will, his word, his plan, and you believe that you can, in fact, do it, there's a chance it would happen.
Yep. Yeah. And it comes down to that second part that you included there, was the action part.
You got
to
do that.
A lot of people, yeah, they think that it'll just come through if I just, you know, wholeheartedly believe in that. That's great and all, but, you know, even Jesus tells us to put our stuff into action, right? And like you said, it all comes down to, is what you're doing elevating God? Is that mountain going to move for you just because you believe it should? No, it's like, because you believe it should. Does God have a purpose for that mountain to move? Maybe or maybe not. It's not really up to you. If it, as long as whatever it is that you're trying to manifest, does it uplift God in any way? Do you give praise to where it is warranted and to the Almighty? And then what are you doing about it, right? So if it's, say, getting that yacht or something, mm-hmm. Well, what are you doing to get that yacht? Is it selling some stuff off, you know, clearing out some space?
Why are you trying to get the yacht?
Yeah, are you trying to get this yacht so you can just, like,
showboat?
Float around, yeah.
Showboat. Yeah. Float around.
Float around in front of your neighbors. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a subscriber to that. But yeah, I
think God could give it to you too. Like, you want the yacht? Okay, go ahead, name and claim it. You ain't getting it because you named and claimed it. But your pride, your greed, I'll give you over to it. That means the yacht. And if you die on it, or if it costs you your life, yeah. in one way or another.
I think that
that's giving you over.
Yeah, I think that it's folly to, you know, like just wanting this lavish lifestyle. It's covetousness. It's like, you know, there are people, you know, that believe that if they speak things out, that it sets it into motion. And I pretty much reject that notion, but mm-hmm. there is a process. There's a process for manifesting, like pretty much anything for good or evil. Mm-hmm. And it may not be exactly the way you want it, but you know, one of the things that I've been wrestling with is, you know, just this overarching feeling that we were created for so much more than what we're doing. What we're doing, in my opinion, is like pretty much serving the beast system. We're giving our lives over to a system that gives us little back and gives us little time with our family and little left over, you know, at the end of the month. So we keep running on this treadmill, and I know we're created for more than that. And I wouldn't say I've been going on a dive just through the Bible, but just in general, like trying to grasp this idea of, you know, higher dimensions and realms and, you know, even like, what do they call it? I'll find the word later, but kind of quantum level stuff, you know, like just higher dimensions. But it was like God just started downloading to me some stuff. So this is like my download. I'm not saying to believe me, because I can't really back this up with scripture, but it's like, I'm going to paint you pictures, because that's how I get my downloads. I don't talk and I don't get it in word form. I get it in picture form. So, you know, picture yourself in a comic book strip, okay? And you're a character on the comic book strip, and you have an idea. And so that idea pops up as a little bubble, right? And it's over your head, and it's saying, maybe it's a picture of the idea, or it's a written word of the idea. And this is, that little bubble is a realm. You've just created a realm. Okay. And it goes into the spirit realm. Your idea, your desire, maybe it's a goal, a dream. It could actually be very simple too. You could have a simple desire. You could have a wicked desire, you know. Anyway, you create this realm, and it has the ability to partner with heaven or hell. With the demonic realm or with the heavenly realm, right? And let's just say it's a good idea. Like you want to help, you know, kids in Africa, you know, get clean running water in their communities. You know, well, that idea, you know, as you mull it over, it builds, right? You get more detail, like how am I going to execute this? And you start trying to think about different ways that you can build out this sort of realm. Well, heaven has the ability, you know, especially if you welcome it in, to partner with that. And I almost feel like when our ideas, dreams, goals, whatever it is in that space bubble goes into it, and you invite heaven to participate, it's very similar to the fertilizing of an egg, right? Mm-hmm. Now you've partnered with heaven, and this child is incubating, you know?
Inviting heaven to engage would be, I'm translating that as prayer, like you're praying to God.
Yeah, to I mean, help me yeah, but it this. May not. It may not. Of course, you could pray to God for it, but I mean, you don't have to pray for Satan to come in and start enhancing your wicked idea, right? But I think the heavenly realms the same way. They see the good, true intention of a person's heart and the idea that they have. And the angelic realm is trying to bring this child into manifestation in our physical world.
Mm.
And so that sort of partnership allows, like, especially when we, like I said, when we invite heaven, hey, come test my heart, make sure I'm right in this, but you know, I want to do this and I feel like this is God's calling in my life. Heaven can come into that space and help build it out, even with things that you in and of your own power couldn't do. They have access to things that we don't.
Mm.
And maybe as it's developing and as you're networking here in the world, this child comes to full term and is birthed. And right. Now what essentially you've done is you've partnered with heaven to manifest on earth. And it very well aligns with this concept of, you know, our Father, or not, yeah, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's like we get to usher in the will of God from heaven into our plane of existence by partnering with that.
So I do have a verse for you. I'm not arguing against you, because I think that there's some truth in that. And I kind of, that's the line of thought that I was kind of going with. Mm. What seeded it was this thought was, don't speak that into an existence. Don't speak it into existence. Don't say anything bad. You know, like you're scripting somebody, you're scripting your life or yourself. Don't say, I hope you don't get sick. Because now that you said sick out loud, it could happen. It seemed to me, I just hadn't explored that biblically. So it seemed a bit hyper-spiritual. And that's where I started my search. And I don't think there's a verse, honestly, in the Bible. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I spent 2 hours searching it that says, talks about speaking things into existence. That
well,
was
I mean,
what
that's
started.
What God did.
God did that, right. Yes. But I thought there was a warning in the Bible to humans.
I think that's where they get the whole concept of, you know, name it and claim it.
And it's not in the Bible.
Because we knew, well, that's not in the Bible, but the creation itself,
right,
was created by the word of God.
Yeah, God spoke through Jesus the creation of earth and everything else.
That's, yeah, and so, you know, along the lines of manifesting, because your life can manifest good and bad.
Right.
So when you have an evil idea, when you have a sinful idea or a wicked idea, or maybe you're not sure whether it's wicked or not, but you have created a realm that the demonic realm can interact with. You can open a door.
Right.
You can, you know, these things go into the spirit realm that we don't see and can be, you know, incubated and, you know, fertilized in there with demonic activity. And if given the chance, you know, what we see is this manifestation of wickedness. So
yeah.
Let me just say, like, let's just say, there's somebody at the office that you're attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you find yourself thinking about this person all the time.
I hope my boss, Jeff, does not hear this.
Well, you know, you have put this out into the ether. Like, I'm just going to say, like, you've put this space bubble. Thank God nobody else in the world can see it. But, like, you've just created a realm that the demonic realm can join and partner with you in. And if you do not crush that realm, if you don't plead the blood, if you don't repent, if you don't say, God, you know, get this person out of my head. I don't want to think about this, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, do whatever, repent, recant, renounce, whatever. This thing is going to to give birth to fornication.
I can back what you're saying over there. It's James 1:15. So after desire has conceived, so desire, right? Temptation leads to desire. Desire, when conceived, it gives birth to sin.
Yes.
And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Mm-hmm. But that is a biblical thought. And how I think the mechanics of it is what we're talking about. I don't know. It's kind of a gray area.
It's a strange area, but I'm not the only one who's talking about realms this way. And we think that it's foolishness, because how could the devil know your thoughts? How could the heavenly realms know your thoughts? And I'm telling you, what we put up there, we are creating realms without even being aware that we're providing a bubble and a space for either sin to be birthed or for the works of God to manifest. Mm-hmm. And how we choose to think, which is why, you know, like saying thing like the Bible says, take all thoughts captive, right, to the obedience of Christ. And like, you know, seek first his kingdom and delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Like there's all kinds of verses that talk about, you know, to be careful with how you do it. Now, because we're painting a picture, and I'm painting like more of a picture than the Bible says in word, doesn't mean that this actual playing out isn't accurate. Like,
yeah,
I think that what we don't realize is how often we are partnering with the world or with the demonic realm in our actions, or even in if we're angry or if we hate, right, what we bring in birth into our life and our world. And that's not without effect. And the secondary question, and I'm going to end it here, but because I could just keep going, is what happens when you realize the power you have to manifest the works of God on earth, and you realize the realms you've created throughout your life can be destroyed, taken down? Like I'm picturing the movie Inception, you know, with Leonardo DiCaprio, and they've got all these worlds that you're just in their mind, they're creating and they're collapsing. And it's like, you know, you need to, you know, go through what you've put out there and just, you know, probably wouldn't be a bad idea to just start destroying your little universe that you've created with all of the various thoughts and ideas. And the collapsing of those realms, you know, almost have like a quantum entanglement where, you know, you're destroying the realms in the spirit by asking Christ to come in and renouncing, pleading the blood, you know, asking God to come in and destroy these works of Satan.
Right.
I do. And we know, in my opinion, that Satan's only access into manifestation here is through the agreement with man. I don't feel like he's like this, the prince and king of this world. I outright reject that notion. I think that the earth is God's and everything in it. And I think the heavens are his. And I think the only access points that he has in this world is through the agreements of men. And I think they're made in the spirit and they manifest in the flesh. And I think that interaction of, you know, I'll call it realms that we conceive these ideas and they give birth here. When we start collapsing the works in the spirit, they will also collapse the realms in the flesh.
I think that it's funny. So I had talked to somebody, I would need to look biblically more into it, but we could even talk about it on the podcast, but I believe that we were talking about Satan being able to hear your thoughts versus saying it out loud. I don't think that he can hear or know our thoughts. I think that it was Dre was talking to her about this, but he can see your actions, your past, right? He knows and sees that. And then based on that, he would be able to tempt or interfere in some way. But I don't know. I'm just going off what I've read biblically, and I don't know if he could hear our thoughts. And then I would also say that the...
So I definitely think that Satan is not omnipresent. So he's not omnipotent. So like what we're talking about is, can the demons that are assigned to us pick up on our thoughts and our desires? I think absolutely. And I think they come into manifest as horrific as it sounds to have your thoughts and ideas, you know, portrayed in such a way that the demonic realm knows what you're doing and where you're going with it and how it can partner with you to destroy you. I think that's absolutely possible.
Artists do that a lot.
I don't think you have to, you don't have to always invite them in. By the very nature of your thought, it's going to attract those demons.
I don't know. I couldn't speak to that. What I would say too is like, so the verse talking about in James, where it's talking about desire giving birth to sin, I believe that is talking about the desires of our flesh. You know what I mean? I think that our thoughts indicate where our heart is. Our heart is eternally wicked. And so our heart will forever desire or struggle with our flesh, you know? And so I think that if we don't take those thoughts captive, those thoughts and temptations could turn into manifest into sin in front of us and then death of whatever it is, relationships, whatever that looks like. Another verse I was going to bring up is 2 Peter 1:21. It says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Now, I would interpret that as there's nothing we can do or say, right? Prophesy and manifest based on our will, but God can use us and we can speak God's word, his will, via the Holy Spirit out, and his will or his plan will be manifest through us, right? But not based on our will, but his.
I also think parallel to the lamentations of Paul when he's writing one of the churches, or he's basically talking about how, you know, he's done all these great things to uplift the kingdom and all these kinds of things, but he's also still just lamenting of the fact that he's still in this fleshy body that he's just like having to drag around like all the time. Even as he does, you know, the will of God, in Jesus, and he's just still lamenting of the fact that he has to deal with these things, right? Even though, you know, you think of him as a holy apostle and all these things, he's still just
a man.
We're all just men. We're all just people, fleshy, right?
Or they're him, hers.
During this month, we're whatever we want to make it. But
I'm a chair.
I mean, we daily do have to crucify the flesh for sure. But man, it's like there's so much more than just trying to not suck. You know, we're sons and daughters of the King, which means, you know, we are co-heirs with Christ, and it's like we spend almost all of our time just in this low level, you know, physical existence. And, you know, here we have the power that God has given us to bring his kingdom to earth through alignment with his will. And, you know, and I do believe that, you know, there is a measure of faith. Faith is definitely important. But, you know, you can get so in your head over a lot of things. And it's like, man, I just want to pray that you are healed because I don't like to see you suffer. Do I have to sit there and really, like, debate God, you know, like, is it your will to heal this person, for this person to be made well? You know, they're your daughter, your son, and they have scrolls and mandates written on in heaven for these works to be for them to do here, to inherit, you know, all that the kingdom has when we go from this life to the next. You have all of this destiny written on our scrolls, and, you know, a person is laid up bedridden, you know, I think you just go. You say, man, I'm believing in faith that God is going to make you well. And, you know, if for whatever reason I can't go into praying for somebody with full faith, then I won't. You know,
yes,
but it's like, I don't want to have a double mind when I'm praying for someone.
Right.
So if I can't pray in confidence, you know, and I feel like God is like, he's like, I'm like scratching at 5% of the reality of the surface. And he's like pushing. He's like, go, 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 like, go, you got this, go. Like, you know, you don't have to have my blessing. You don't have to be in your head about all this stuff. Just go do it, you know? And if you fail, so did Peter. That's okay. At least you're not in the boat like the rest of the...
What's the word you're searching for? You have a pea looking in your lip.
Yeah.
Punks. I mean,
punks. Yeah, like at least you're out there doing. You're right. Doing and you know, like, things aren't without, you know, there are victories and there are success stories, but I think we're so afraid of failing or being disappointed. And it's like, no, man, just go, like, go in faith, put yourself out there, get out of the boat and walk with Jesus. You're not called to be sitting on the sidelines. You're not called to be on the bench. Mm. You're the secret weapon on the sideline waiting to get in the game, and you don't even know it.
Right. I do think it's funny, like, in conversations similar to this, people often get either discouraged, maybe not understanding if they can do this or if they should or whatnot. And I think... someone told me, actually, it was Michael. It's not a dog eat dog. It's not Jesus versus the devil and their arm wrestling. And they're two equals. This is God, creator of everything, versus Satan. And the battle is already won. You know, it's not, we it's are in a spiritual.
Won.
Yeah. As far as it, this is where I hate this thing, but majoring in the minors, you know, like he is victorious over, and we experience that victory through him. And yeah, I think that we're called to walk in obedience. Like you're saying, do it, stop fretting. Even, I mean, I think it's fun. It's interesting to try and understand the mechanics of how God works, but I do think he's the one working through us.
And I think it's like part of understanding realms for me is understanding the heart of God. The deeper I get with him, the more he's trying to show me that it's like it's pushing on my boundary for what's normal. And he's saying, go. Like, I'm calling you out. I'm not calling you to stay safely in the boat or with all the other evangelical Christians. I'm calling you into something greater.
Right.
And the thing is he's truthfully, he's calling everybody. He's calling everybody. But we got people mending nets. We've got people plugging holes. We've got people, you know, bickering about, you know, who's the most talented. And, you know, and then there's just, there's the people, you know, I think that this, there's another thing that's going on. And, I think God's going to manifest this, and it's not going to be through me. It's just going to be like in general. God is going to call out the most unlikely people to do his work, because the Christian church is so busy trying to build a better boat.
Right.
And then that's not where God's is. That's not where he's calling them.
He uses the foolish to shame the wise.
Oh yeah. And I mean, he will. I think in our days, you know, in the days to come, and I don't think that we have long.
I have a side note on what you're saying.
Yeah, I think we're gonna see God's like in a way when Christ came to the earth and there was a sect of Jews that rejected Christ and they missed it. They missed the Son of God for their religion. I think what's going to happen in these days is God's going to be moving and the church is going to miss it because they're focused on all the wrong things. And it's going to be the very unlikely, you know, like when God says, go out to the streets, get the freaking handicapped, get the sick. I don't care who it is. Like, Get anyone, bring them in. And then he says, you know, to those people that got the invitation in the mail, that refused to come, they won't be at my banquet.
Right.
They will not be at my banquet, but these people will. These, you know, these lesion infested, homeless, drug addicts and, you know, the people that were willing is what he's going to use to bring about.
So this is shifting of gears, but you're talking about the end days, unless you guys had anything else to add on manifesting. So have you guys heard anything about this alien business in the news?
All over the place.
Please enlighten me. I've obviously checked out for a year and a half. On the
news.
It's
just all Illuminati New World Order stuff. It's been
so what happened? I heard some little boy or somebody saw an alien, or they claimed to have seen something that crashed.
The Las Vegas one?
Yeah, there's something that crashed and the cop answered the call because they seemed genuine.
Yeah. I mean, it looks pretty interesting. I've seen it. Have you seen it, right?
No, that's why I'm asking. I'm saying be my news source. Have you? No? Oh, boy.
So, I mean... Okay, first of all, like, just do a little research. You just did a little research, you find that the New World Order has been gaming out an alien invasion because they feel like it's the only way they can unite the world in a one world government against a common enemy, right?
That one, I guess that easy.
I think we're going to be like propagandized. Like
we are. I think Brian talked about it on the last show, but 2018, they repealed a law that was in effect for years, decades, that made it illegal to propagandize a nation. And now that is legal. And 2 years after 2018, boom.
And I'm not saying that these things aren't real.
Right.
I'm not saying these things aren't real. I'm saying that they're not what they're not from.
Exactly.
You know, another galaxy.
Yes. Right. So this is coming from the alien guy himself. Which I do believe in interdimensional beings, demons, angels, Martians, I doubt it. And God could do whatever he wants. Either way, I don't think they're going to interact here. I believe that people see unidentified flying objects, and whatever they are, don't know. But now I think beyond all that, we're going to see it in the news, and everyone that called me crazy is going to see, there they are. And they're going to think they're aliens, like Martians from Mars or whatever it is. And I was listening to someone else talk about how they were shown a UFO. And he said, you see that UFO? And he's like, yeah, that's crazy. That's a spaceship. Yeah. I don't know what that is. Go touch it. And he went to touch it and it was hologram.
Yeah.
And I believe that they're going to stage it. The powers that be, the Illuminati or whoever, they're going to stage a alien invasion. It'll be just like COVID.
But it's way too crazy. I think there's actually going to be some destruction. I do think
they will destroy things.
I think that they have to make it convincing enough. And I think they're going to use a lot of direct energy weapons. And I think they do have flying craft too. I think they have enough to pull off like a whole global fleet over every nation? No, but that's what Bluebeam's for. And all they got to do is take out a few small towns and, you know, start, you know, using all of the, I've wondered, I've honestly, this is how conspiratorial my mind is. Our whole planet is gridded out with these 5G towers. Is that really all they are? Are they able to broadcast signs in the skies with these grids? Because, you know,
I had a dream.
What?
I told you this dream, dude. Where there was a Microsoft banner in the sky, went around the whole globe, right? And it was like the scrolling, like you'd see in a sports arena, message, and I saw Microsoft.
I don't remember this.
And it sprinkled dust in the air, and
oh my god!
And there were people that got infected.
Dude, Bill Gates has been talking about like seeding the clouds to block the sun.
This
right?
dream was right in the beginning of 2020. So
okay,
either way, I survived. Dude. I didn't get infected. The bugs that landed on me just fell right off. I did lose a. I lost Mercy on a boat. She hopped on a boat and I was like, what the hell?
Dude, that's like the worst dream ever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But
Mercy is your kid.
Yeah.
So for those
I tried to jump in and get her. She was too fast. It was a boat.
Yeah.
Either way, she.
This was a dream. Oh, dude. That's when I wake up. I hate those dreams.
Yeah.
But so I do. I think that will happen. There's going to be blood, right? There will be people that die in this.
There's
going to
be buildings destroyed.
I mean, no it will doubt. Be like 9/11 times on steroids. And you know what will happen? I mean, by the way, that'll be that probably more people are going to die in that than from COVID. But if that happens, God forbid, if it happens, we're going to sit here and say, I told you. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to say, how dare you talk about I told you so when all these people died? And it's exactly. Well, you need to focus up. We're saying it was going to happen years ago and you didn't prepare yourself. And now you're making all this irrational decisions based on their narrative.
How many people, like I know a few family that have died young.
From COVID?
No.
Oh.
From being fooled into the jab, right?
I know people that died that have it, and obviously we can't conclusively say that it was from it. I can't.
Well, I can tell you it was, and it's like you can't reason with them. Like it's like so now you're gonna try to say, hey, you know, I'm sorry about your loss, but you know,
I told you so.
Like we tried to warn you. Like no, anything you say or do at that point is just you're gonna be wrong in doing it. So this is gonna be another thing. So I mean, we just the thing is that, and I see the church being so primed for it, like. You know that I think we're on a false timeline. I've already explained that. For those of you who don't know, like basically I believe the millennial reign happened and Christ or Satan has stolen the script of the end times defeat he suffered with in the first century. I think he's got all of humanity thinking we're on this timeline going into the tribulation. And so, you know, we can count on, okay, let's talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, or let's talk about the trumpet judgments and the woes and the bowl judgments. Like these are all things that they have to recreate. Plagues, famine, you know, war, pestilence, you know, all of these things are coming because they have to in order to pull off the New World Order narrative, which is, you know, we all unite under one king, and that king is going to be made out. I mean, I think what he thinks is going to do, whether God allows it or whether humanity allows it, I don't know. But I think he's going to try to pitch this whole end times reenactment in such a way where he kills God. And everybody that's still alive through all this is going to be, you know, tempted to pledge their allegiance to this beast if they haven't already taken the mark, right? So I don't think that's the way it's going to play out, but I think that's the way he's wanting to play out. I think that this short season that the Bible talks about in the end of Revelation 20 is Satan's last hurrah to get people to follow him. And guess what happens next? What happens after Satan's short season is immediately, without a shot fired, the demonic realm is all thrown into the lake of fire. And then we go into the great white throne judgment, and all humanity is judged.
So we are
that's what we're awaiting.
Saints that are at the end that are raptured after?
No,
so we're not raptured.
No, I don't even believe there was a rapture in the first century. I think not in the sense that we're just zapped into heaven and we just get to hang out there while the earth's in tribulation. No, that's not biblical, although that's what they'll say.
It's not biblical? What?
Prove it.
It's in the Bible.
No, it's not.
The rapture's not in the Bible?
No, it's not. No.
Oh, boy. Pause this, Mikkel. Okay, so we looked through and did a little research real quick. What I found was 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will first rise. Then we who are alive and remain," that being us right now, or at least the people after the dead rise, "will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall be with him always, the Lord, therefore comfort one another." And that's the root verse of the idea, yes, the concept of rapture. Rapture is not, the word rapture, at least as far as I see, is not in the Bible.
It's not in there, yeah.
Nor is the Trinity, by the way, either. There's no mention of the Trinity.
Right. And I'm not saying that just because the rapture isn't written there, but it's, in my opinion, when Christ comes with the archangel and he blows a trumpet, he's coming to rule and reign. When he talks about in the book of Revelation, the 144,000 martyrs that died in the tribulation are coming to the earth to rule and reign for the 1,000-year reign. So I think what Paul is writing to his brothers and sisters is he's trying to tell them, hey, you know, don't, he says, "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." This is my opinion, that the phase that they were in was either the pre-tribulation turmoil that was going on in the world, where there was persecution of the church, persecution of the believers in Christ. And Jesus had left them saying, I'm coming soon. All these events are going to happen. You know, this generation shall not pass, right? And before they see the coming of the Son of Man. So he's talking about his return to earth. He's not talking about some rapture event where they get carted off to heaven. It's like his kingdom comes and he uses the martyrs, the resurrected martyrs from their, for the tribulation that they were in. Because the brothers were lamenting, right, that dang it, you know, like we've been fighting all these years waiting for the Savior to come. He said he was coming in our lifetime, and so-and-so is lost, and so-and-so is lost, you know, last year. And, you know, they missed it. They missed the coming of the Lord. And he's like, no, don't fret, because they're going to be resurrected before you even meet with Christ in the air to come and rule and reign on the earth. So that's my opinion about that. It's not this rapture into some heavenly realm until, you know, the rest of humanity gets to come and get their wings and their harps. It's the earth is our inheritance. you know, the meek shall inherit the earth. The Bible's constantly talking about, you know, even from Adam and Eve, you know, they were given the earth and dominion over it. So it's like when the new heavens and the new earth come after the great white throne judgment, what happens? Heaven comes down to earth and there is a new heaven and a new earth. So the old is done away with and the new has come. But the earth itself is for man.
Right.
That's our inheritance. And there are a few, I believe there are martyrs that that it talks about in Revelation that do ascend into the throne room of heaven where they become like pillars in the temple of God. Not literally, but like, you know, like they literally exist where God, you know, is in the heavens. So I think that's, I mean, I can understand this is a, I'm like the worst apologist for,
yeah, me too.
For, you know, believing this. I just know it. I know it in me and I can't really convey it, but
I think
Christ is coming when the clouds part and the trumpet sounds. Like he's not coming to bail us out of all of the issues, all the things. He's coming back with a sword.
Right. And he's, a big tat on his thigh.
Yeah.
Says King of Kings.
There we go. You know, like he's coming to set straight all the wickedness of the world. But like, it's my opinion, this already happened. What we're looking at is a false timeline that Satan, you know, part of the great deception is hiding this millennial reign.
I think this is a good topic to like for next, I'd say for next week, like to further dive in. Cause I think there's a lot there.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good.
I definitely think that I have so much scripture to that I could share with you.
Right.
I mean, if you just read the first verses, the first eight verses of Revelation, in the context of what how it's played out, I don't think you can come up with any other scenario. Like it clearly, John is writing in distress, in tribulation, to his brothers and sisters in the seven churches, right? Like he says it all in no unclear terms. And if you read Galatians, if you read Ephesians, it's all there. I could, I mean, we could dissect each book and it's like, dude, this is not, you know, obviously they were going through those times. The millennial kingdom did not come when the when a lot of the New Testament was written. It was during the persecution of the church in the kind of the pre-trib birth pains of the return of Christ. So I think these letters were sent out during, you know, some real turmoil, but I think the actual return, like, you know, probably Revelation was like the last book that was written before the millennial reign. And then there are some other writings that suggest that, you know, people lived through that. Jews lived through that. Josephus lived through that and wrote post tribulation about what he saw, and he saw the clouds parted. You know what I mean?
I would say that because I want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's worth looking into. Like I can just shallow say it, but like there are entire websites that are dedicated to all the writings that suggest that what was happening in the skies with the moon and the sun and the parting of the sky, which in my opinion, the galaxy is a scar from the heavens parting. That's, I don't think it's like we're in a billion star galaxy. I think
it's all good points.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to think about other people's perspectives. And I know the first time I heard my perspective, I was like, I reject that in the name of Jesus. Like that is just heresy. That is apostasy. You are riding the edge, but I'm like, I could not I couldn't deny what my mind would read in the Bible.
I think the best part about it is that it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong about where we're at in the timeline.
That's right.
You are saved. You're covered in his blood.
I love Jesus, man. Right. We all love Jesus. And that's
a non-salvific thing.
There we go.
So it's interesting. And I would encourage the listeners to send us a direct message on our non-existent Instagram right now. We're going to get that going. Oh, man. So that we can
accept. I hate to hear what they say about me.
Yeah, my grandma's going to like, stop posting podcasts. I don't care anymore.
Quit name dropping.
Yeah, stop using my name. Ain't your grandma.
Not your clickbait.
Yeah. We got to give a shout out to Brian's fan, too. It's a coworker. She said, I gotta listen. I haven't heard in a while. I was like, yeah, we talk about you every episode. So
yeah.
Big shout outs to Brian.
Oh yeah, Brian's not here. I just noticed. I'm kidding.
Yeah, we should have said that in the beginning. Yeah, I'm sure Brian would have had some interesting things to say.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you. God bless you.
You guys have a good one.
Yes.